Grant, how you doing?
I'm good. That was coming in with some heavy metal.
Oh, hey, that's the con man. Is that your style of music, heavy metal, Grant? What do you like?
Well, I tell you, I like it all, but I will certainly listen to heavy metal from time to time. I got one of my partners is a big metal head, so I love it. Maybe woke me right up. I was ready to go. What are we talking about?
Well, today, actually, you know what? I got, for the first time in my life, I went and I had a little bit of issue with my knee. And so I went and got some treatment on it. And Bryce, who was treating me, says, hey, you know, I think it stems from your lower back is tight. So we worked on the, then he did traction. And I'm like, what's traction? And so they lay you on the bed and they hook up this machine. I don't even, and it's like it kind of stretches you. So yeah. I want to talk about how many people, probably when you look at our society now, for the add-on talking elite athletes, just the average everyday listener out there, do most of us have tight lower back that's leading to issues that we're unaware of?
Oh, you know, I would say if you were to sit around a table of 10 people over the age of 30, they've got something going on with their back. That's just a common thing, because as we age, basically once we stop growing, we're no longer, our tissue starts to deteriorate over time, and particularly those weight-bearing joints like our knees and especially in our lower back. So what happens over time and as we get a little bit older is we're shrinking. It's happening. I was 5'7" and I'm 5'6.5" now, and I'm 46 years old. We are all slowly shrinking. That space between our discs is getting a little bit narrower. We all, and it's normal wear and tear, so don't everybody out there panic. Say, oh no, I'm deteriorating. I mean, that's called life. It's happening. But as it happens and as that space gets a little narrower and we get this what's called degenerative disc disease or degenerative changes in the spine, it can lead to issues that you might not put two and two together in your own mind, like problems down the leg or chronic issues in the lower extremity or upper extremity as well if it's in the neck.
So can you kind of walk me through like what the traction machine's doing?
Yeah, okay. So let's think about it. We're going to say it, just spell it out there for everybody so it's really clear. If you have a certain amount of space between your spine is stacked one on another, one on top of another, like building blocks, and in between it is a tissue called an intervertebral disc. Now, what can happen over time is like a gasket, as it's got pressure on it, it kind of squishes. It gets a little narrower. It gets a little closer together. That disc is losing its ability to shock absorb. It's losing its ability to provide nutrition to the joint and other things. It also provides a certain amount of space for the nerves to exit at each level. So there's a few ways to look at spinal traction. If you just think of it from the mechanical effect, which is lay on a bed and attach straps above the lower back or above the pelvis and basically pull, not heavy and not, there's not a lot of force, although we can, with a decompression unit that we've got, we can actually get an exact measure of poundage of force across that segment. But if you think about it, what we're doing is just distracting that joint. So a few things happen. One, we alleviate stresses across it. Number two, one of the things that's really important for people to understand is when you apply different forces to joints, you stimulate these receptors around the joint. And that can feel good because there's endorphins relief, there's a release. There's also a stimulus to the nervous system that basically creates this, I don't want to say euphoria, but a pain-relieving endorphin kind of release. And that can alleviate spinal muscle spasm. It can alleviate all kinds of other problems. The other one we talk about all the time is bulging discs, and it's quite common for the material in the center of the disc to actually protrude or bulge out the side. And I like to use the analogy of stepping on a tube of toothpaste. When there's a lot of pressure down, that toothpaste will stick out of the tube. But if you take your pressure off of it, it'll also retract back in under what's called a vacuum phenomena. And so we can treat all kinds of conditions, including bulging discs, but not just bulging discs will respond to this kind of treatment.
Just kind of tightness over time. So is... would a simple way to avoid traction then just be for people to stretch our lower back more frequently? Like, does it come down because we're more of a sit-down society than ever before?
Well, it's not just sitting, though. So sitting puts a lot of posterior, like, pressure toward the back on the discs themselves. But being upright, running, jumping, anything, gravity is the cause of the problem at the end of the day with a degenerative change on our spine. Because essentially it's the downward force across our spine that's leading to wear and tear there. So yes, stretching and good mobility in the spine plays an important role, because what you're suggesting is true. When you've got a lot of tightness in the muscles of the spine, that adds to the problem if you think about it, because not only do you have gravity, but now you have muscles that are exerting a force across that joint as well. So the answer is it's not so simple as just stretching to prevent or delay degenerative disc disease. It can happen anyways, but it certainly does play a positive role. So does strength of the muscles around the lower back as well.
So how do you strengthen those?
Well, and that's the analogy, and everybody likes to talk about this core. And I would love to make it simple for people. If you think about a bucket, if there's a bucket of water out there and you go to a 5-gallon bucket, it's half full of water and there's no handle to grab, how do you lift that bucket? Do you put your fingers on the outside rim, or do you put your hands on the outside and squeeze it and lift it? So that total squeeze of the whole segment provides enough support to lift a body, you know, a bucket of water. And that's what the same role that core stability does in the lower back. And that's not just abdominals, it's not just glutes, it's not just the back, it's the whole picture. And so while the trends are for the early stages was, if you had strong abdominals, you wouldn't get lower back pain. Well, we know that's not true. If you had strong multifidus, which is the deep muscle in the lower back, then you won't get back pain. We know that's not true. We know that if you have strong glutes, that it's the combination of them all, and more important than them just being strong, that they learn to work together. And so core strengthening isn't just about strength. It's actually about getting these muscles to engage at the right time when you need them. And it's not just so simple as here's a group of exercises for you to do, away you go. It's actually a change in your entire daily routine. So I would suggest somebody sitting out there needs to be actually paying attention to it for a long time until it just becomes a habit. So we encourage patients, even when they're opening their door, to try to engage these muscles together so that it becomes a functional part of their day. And essentially, like creating a habit, if you do it enough, it'll just do it on its own. You start to develop the memory that's needed to provide good core strength.
So is it like activating those muscles is most of, like, does our bodies, do they naturally just get lazy, or is it because they're like, well, I don't really need this to pull the door open, so I don't use it?
Yeah, and some people never really had that strength together, and so the answer is, why does it go away? Sometimes because of injury. Sometimes, as soon as you injure something, you'll essentially develop, I don't want to use the word atrophy, like you would think it's totally gone, but some weakness in the area. So it can be from that. It can be from just normal wear and tear in life. I've even had patients who, by all accounts, if you looked at them, their strength, they're bodybuilders, they've got strong cores, and they still develop lower back pain because it's just one part of a total picture that exists in the lower back. And so I guess I'm trying to tell people it's important. It plays one role, but it's not the entire picture.
Grant Fedoruk joins us on Edmonton Sports Theater, TSN 1260. And now, a lot of that is how much of back issues is connected directly to hamstrings and tight hamstrings, which I assume the majority of us suffer from?
Yeah, hamstrings, hip flexors, we can go down through the kinetic chain. They're all interrelated. So the hamstring certainly plays a role. It's a powerful force acting on the pelvis, and so it plays a role. So is the hip flexor, though. If people don't realize, but a muscle at the front of your hip called psoas actually attaches to the anterior or the front part of your lumbar spine. And so when we look at these patients that come in with these issues, it's a total functional approach we take. We look at it all. You can't just say lower back pain's coming from the lower back. You have to address each one of those if that's the problem. Some people have good flexibility of their hamstrings, good flexibility and strength of their psoas, good flexibility and strength in there. And that's what I'm getting at. Jason, you could have it all and you could still end up having some lower back pain. It's one of the most common things that exists out there. The real key to me is addressing it and knowing when to address it. Lower back pain, that's typical non-specific mechanical lower back pain. That'll be that pain that you get, you're overdoing it, and 4 to 6 weeks later, it resolves. You keep moving, you do what you were doing, try not to let it totally take you out. But some people, on the other hand, they can't even move for the first 3, 4, 5, 6. If that's happening, you do need to address it. The sooner you address it, the better the outcomes are.
Grant, great stuff, man. I appreciate it. Stay flexible.
My pleasure.
How's your golf game? Can you get traction to help your golf game?
You know, I'm one who's, I know a lot about discs. We can talk about discs all day long. I've suffered and had an ongoing off and on disc problem since I was 18 years old. And people say, well, you know, you're a physio. Why do you have it? Well, the answer is not every back pain or problem can be cured for life. These are things that happen. Now, as far as golf goes, I'll tell you, I don't let it get in the way of golf. I'm swinging the club just as good as ever. And knock on wood, so far so good. I haven't had any back issues for a little while.
Love it. Awesome. Well, that's good to hear.
How's your game? And more important, when are we going to put it to the test?
Well, if you want, you actually, if you're free on Thursday afternoon, you could, we have a twosome we're auctioning today to, golf in the, Oilers Nation, third annual. It's, two people to golf with myself and Frank Saravalli at Cougar Creek at, 1 p.m. And so that'll, true story, Grant, that'll be my first round of the year.
Oh, is that right?
I haven't swung my clubs once, but you know what? The last 3 years, my first round has usually been my top three rounds of the year, so I'm not sure if that's good or bad. But I always play better when I have zero expectations. So I'm just kind of relaxed and I'm calm, and I go out there. I'm like, hey, first round of the year. If I shank one, I don't get upset because I'm like, well, why shouldn't I? Haven't hit it all year.
I'll get bidding. And so anybody out there who's listening, you got me to bid against because I've got to see this first round of the year.
Yeah. Well, the last golf game I played, true story, was at the ranch last year. We had our fantasy football golf tournament, and I won it. And so I kind of felt like, you know what? I'm retiring from the year because I was like, I got to go out in a high, and I haven't golfed since. So,
well, I think that's the actual – for those who are listening, I know we were talking about lower back problems, but if you want some advice about golf, just lower your expectations, and then it makes golf so much better.
It's very true. It is very true. The best advice I ever got many years ago, probably a decade ago, Gregor, you don't golf enough to get that upset. And while I didn't like it instantly, like a minute later, I was like, yeah, he's right. Like, unless you golf a lot, you're not going to improve. That's just a fact. Right?
Sure.
Like, it's hard to improve at golf. So it's like, yeah, well, how often do you golf? Well, 10 times a year. Well, you're not going to get that good. So ever since then, I've actually golfed better because I don't get upset anymore. If I shank it, I'm just like, oh, yeah, well, that sucks. But I let it go. And it seems to work better for me. Plus, I took some lessons a few years ago, so that helped.
That helps. I made that same decision with my looks. I decided a long time ago I was never going to look like Brad Pitt. So I lowered my expectations, and I'm quite happy with how I look now.
I love it. Thanks, Grant. Have a good one.
Okay, take care, Jason.